Welcome back to the Harrogate Family Law Show. I'm James Stanley, joined in the studio by Carol from Harrogate Family Law. We're talking about the bank of mum and dad and the possible pitfalls if that money forms part of the assets in a divorce or is invested in a jointly owned house. In the last section, we talked about what the parents may be able to do to protect their money. You can listen to the podcast if you missed it or want to listen again. We're now going to look at what the son or daughter can do to protect mum and dad's money. So what can they do?
Well, if you're the recipient of money from your parents, you need to consider whether this money should be protected in the event of your relationship or marriage ending. You might want it to be shared, but if you don't, then you should take legal advice at the earliest possible time to look at the options available to you.
What about if you're cohabiting as well?
Well, if you're cohabiting, there are various ways that the money can be protected. For example, if the money goes into a bank account, make sure it's not a joint account, because the presumption is that the money is owned equally. So don't even use the joint account temporarily before transferring it on. If the money is for a deposit for the house and your partner can't match the deposit, consider whether the house should be just in your name. But if your partner's putting in part of the deposit or the mortgage is based on both your salaries, you can't own it just in your name. It has to be in joint names. But you don't have to own the house equally. Just because it's purchased in joint names, you don't have to have it 50-50. You can have it in whatever percentage would be appropriate for your contributions. And you can also make arrangements so that in the event of your death, your share in the house would go to your other family rather than to your partner, if that's what you and your partner agreed was to happen.
Can you ring fence any investment that parents are giving to you then, for say renovations?
You can. And it's better to make those arrangements with your partner before the money is received. And obviously, if they don't want to agree to ring fencing the money, you might want to think again about whether it's right to accept the money from your parents and whether it might be preferable just to save up for whatever you want to do together so that you can fund it equally. But you can adjust your shares in the property, as I've mentioned, and you can have a cohabitation agreement, which can include agreements about the payments of the bills, ownership of contents, or any other financial arrangements you want to make, as well as what may happen with the family money. Cohabitation agreements are especially valuable when a property is owned in only one name. And this is because the non-owner can try and assert that they have a financial interest in the property just because they say it was agreed that they would. So a cohabitation agreement can record from the outset there is no intention that the non-owner should acquire a share in the property, and this can usually avoid any potential dispute. And we find these particular cases when we're dealing with them at the time of separation are particularly stressful and costly, because there isn't usually any clear evidence one way or another, so it can come down to who the judge considers to be more credible. So it's much better to have something in writing from the outset.
What about engaged or married couples as well?
Oh, well, they can enter into marital agreements. So you can enter into a premarital agreement, or a prenup as it's better known as, before the marriage. Or people who are already married can actually enter into postmarital agreements or a postnup. It doesn't have to be before the marriage starts. Now, the law with regard to marital agreements isn't quite so straightforward, because they're not automatically enforceable by the courts. But if they're entered into in a proper manner, they're usually upheld by the courts. So in a proper manner involves both parties to the agreement being content with the terms and entering into the agreement willingly, and not under any pressure from the other. They both need to have full knowledge of each other's financial position and a full understanding of the terms in effect. And ideally, they both have the benefit of legal advice. And these agreements are really very useful for ring fencing family money, a business, or any other assets that are acquired prior to the marriage. So there are lots of things which can be done to protect family money and keep it within the family. And as I've said before, legal advice should always be taken at the earliest possible opportunity so that arrangements can be made which everyone is happy with. Nobody wants to get family law advice when everything's going well. And most people don't even consider it a necessity. But it can avoid issues if the unthinkable happens and save so much money and distress in the longer term. Please speak to Harrogate Family Law if you need any advice about the matters which we have discussed tonight, or if you have any other family law questions. We're not just there to pick up the pieces when a relationship ends. Consult us at the start of your relationship to ensure that the financial arrangements between you and your partner are how you want them to be.
If people want to get in touch, what are your contact details?
Well, have a look on our website, which is www.harrogatefamilylaw.com. And our offices can be found at 30 Victoria Avenue in Harrogate. And you can telephone us on 01423 594 680.
Carol, thank you so much for coming in again. And we look forward to seeing you again in a month.
Thank you, James.